How flexible is your device? Are you a person on the move and need your device to move with you? The Mesa Fundi goes wherever you go. It allows you to take notes, sketch your great ideas, sign documents and get work done wherever you are. Attach Microsoft Office for the ultimate experience. Make the shift and upgrade to the Mesa Fundi with Windows 10 Professional. The Mesa Fundi, flexibility reimagined. Available online and in store at all leading retailers. Mesa recommends Windows 10 Professional. Visit mesa.co.za for more information.
Into transaction. Don't just be next level. Be on a whole other level. Do business with Vox. Get Vox Fiber to your business starting from 2,499 Rand per month. Level up your experience with uncapped calling, hardware rental, IT solutions, and over 160 other products to enhance your business. Work smart. Level up with Vox. Visit vox.co.za to view our range. T's and C's apply.
I'm Duncan McLeod, and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm joined on an internet call now by Gustav Prekelt, the founder of the Prekelt Foundation, a nonprofit that uses mobile technology to help poor communities. Gustav, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Duncan. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure. It looks so normal outside. I'm in my home office recording this with the COVID-19 pandemic going on. There's a Joburg thunderstorm rolling through, which accounts for the background sound that you can hear. It all seems so normal, but the world is not a normal place this week, I'm afraid. Gustav, well, thanks for chatting to us. You guys have developed a WhatsApp service for the South African government, which provides accurate information on the COVID-19 pandemic. You've now also developed a similar system for the World Health Organization. And we're going to talk about that in some detail during the podcast today. But before we do, I'm sure a lot of people have heard of the Prekelt Foundation, but are not entirely sure of what it is that you guys do. Before we get started on the COVID-19 stuff, please tell me a bit about yourself and the foundation and some of the projects you've been involved with over the years.
Thanks, Duncan. Well, I'm a technologist like you, a geek. I love technology. My entire life I've been a technology entrepreneur. I started out in the for-profit space, and we built a business called Break Consulting, which works with some of the largest telcos and with PSTV and banks, and really enjoyed that, really enjoyed building technology to connect people to services. And about 10 years ago, we realized that almost everyone in South Africa was in the process of getting a mobile phone. But we realized there were a lot of services that weren't being delivered for those living at the base of the pyramid, or people living in poverty, or the vulnerable in our societies. Yet they had the money to buy mobile phones. And we thought there's a great opportunity to build these services. And we started Prekelt Foundation, the nonprofit, now just over 10 years that we've been going. And our very first project was to support HIV patients, which is called Project Masiluleke, which, by the way, is actually still running. And the idea really was very straightforward and simple. It was just to say, if we can provide the right information at the right time, then people could make the right decisions how to protect themselves and their families. And we were mostly focused on health over the last 10 years. So a couple of really interesting projects. We worked in HIV. We launched Mom Connect, which is the one of the largest maternal health programs in the world. 80% of all mothers in South Africa are being registered into interactive service every year and getting life-saving information about their pregnancy and their kids. And we've also worked with Facebook and their Free Basics program, with Girl Effect globally. And then more importantly, I think, and relevant to this conversation, is we started working with WhatsApp when they launched their WhatsApp Business API 3 years ago. We were one of the first testers specifically for nonprofit usage. And we launched, actually, with Mom Connect, the very first social impact service on WhatsApp 2 years ago.
So just explain to me what WhatsApp Business is relative to the ordinary WhatsApp that people use. It's designed, yeah, I presume, for mass messaging?
Yeah, exactly. And for businesses, really. I think all of our listeners, all of your listeners, are WhatsApp users to some extent. And as you know, WhatsApp is it's a IP messaging protocol, an application. And I think in South Africa, about 70%, if not more, of our citizens now are using WhatsApp. And so the component you're talking about, the peer-to-peer component, is the one that we're all very used to for the last 10 years. And they globally now, I think there's now 2 billion monthly active users. And recently what they started thinking about is how can businesses communicate with end users, businesses or organizations. So if you, for instance, a DStv or a Vodacom, or you are the National Department of Health, how do you communicate with end users using WhatsApp? So they launched a specific API called the WhatsApp Business API, which still uses the end-to-end encryption, for which WhatsApp is famous for, but it's got some very strict rules about what you can and cannot do. I think you know, and I know, and we all know all these spammy SMSs that we get that's telling us that we won, you know, 100 million rand. WhatsApp specifically wants to avoid that. So there are these really, really strict controls about opting people in, about how often you can message them outbound. And that business API really allows organizations now to communicate at a very large scale with that 2 billion user base of WhatsApp. Yeah.
And I guess it's one of the primary ways that Facebook is looking to monetize WhatsApp.
I'm sure. We're not privy to their business goals, but there currently is no other way that WhatsApp generates revenue. Yeah. And there hasn't been for the last decade. And so I think it's fairly clear that the WhatsApp Business API is going to be a primary component for their monetization strategy.
For sure, for sure. Now, the platform that you guys have developed is called COVID-19 Connect. Is that right?
That's right. The larger platform is called Health Alert, but specifically for COVID-19 in South Africa, we call the Department of Health is calling it COVID-19.
COVID-19. Connect. Okay. Now, over the weekend, I believe it topped 2 million users, and you were saying just before we started recording this podcast that it's topped 2.25 million users. And what was the number you mentioned of how many people are joining this service on an hourly basis right now?
Yeah, actually, if I look at our live dashboards, we are on an hourly basis in the region of between 30 and 40,000 users are accessing the service every single hour. So it's on a daily basis, about 500,000 people are accessing it, of which about 300,000 are returning users.
Wow. Okay. So it's proving to be quite sticky. How did this, how does this platform come about? Did you guys approach the Department of Health? Did they approach you?
Well, we were very lucky. You know, we've been working with the department for a long time, for more than 7 years. We developed Mom Connect for them.
Yeah.
And they've been fantastic partners. The Minister of Health, Dr. William Mkhize, he's a great technologist. He tweets all the time, by the way.
I've seen that.
You see, like, he tweets every day. So that's really great. He's a technologist. He's a medical doctor. And our previous Minister of Health, Dr. Adam Otsaledi as well, was a great supporter of using technology. We have such big problems in South Africa, but, you know, one of the positives is that we have really high uptake of mobile phones.
Yes.
Like every person in South Africa now has got a mobile device. And so we're very lucky that they've been very supportive and positive and really driving the uptake of these communication services. So it feels such a short time ago, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were all like, well, you know, is it going to hit South Africa? And everything seemed, you know, we were kind of looking at the other countries and wondering whether it's ever going to happen here. And we just thought, well, let's get prepared. Let's use the technology that we've built for Mom Connect, and we built a prototype. And we shared it with the Department of Health, and specifically the Deputy Director General there, Jürgen Pillay. Mm-hmm. And they were really enthusiastic about it. You know, they obviously had a lot of things that they wanted to put on the platform. And then we things got kind of really, really accelerated when President made the announcement last Sunday, and we kind of had to rush and really get the site out, or the WhatsApp line out, which happened last Saturday, the day before President Ramaphosa made the big announcement on Sunday night. And that really was, I mean, I think on the very first day, we already had almost 900,000 people access the WhatsApp line.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've just seen as we're talking now that the number of COVID-19 cases in South Africa has jumped by 128 to 402, which is quite an acceleration.
Well, so literally, as you and I were speaking, I'm just keeping an eye on the thread as well. We just posted it to the WhatsApp line. Yeah, it's just, I mean, that's the power of and the scariness of exponential curves. 400 cases.
Yeah, yeah. Now it uses
actually interesting. Sorry, Doctor. It's interesting what you mentioned there. The fact that you mentioned specifically this, that's, by the way, the number one reason why people are coming to the WhatsApp line is to check on the cases.
And the case numbers.
And the latest news.
Well, that's I was going to ask what people are accessing it for. What is available through the – I had a brief look at it over the weekend. I'm afraid I didn't have a chance to look at it in any sort of detail. But what are some of the things that people are finding useful in there?
Well, we're trying to post the latest updates. So whenever the president or the minister or the task team announce, it's on the WhatsApp line simultaneously with the website as well. And the caseload, the breakdown of which provinces they have them, really important is whether or not you should get tested. And again, I think every on this podcast should know by now, but they should really check, because the one thing we don't want to do is overload our health system. And you don't want to be going to a clinic when you shouldn't be testing. So it provides information about that. It provides information about testing sites. It provides a whole – as the disease spreads, there's more and more impact on economy. So we're going to be updating and providing information. You saw that there's information now about support for small businesses. So we'll be updating around anything that the government provides. And then going forward, the other things that we're thinking about is people can ask questions as well in natural language, and we will start supporting those as well. I think the first – couple of days, we're really just dealing with immense traffic and the pent-up demand. But over time, what we're going to start doing is also responding to people's direct requests. So they can use the menu, but they can also just ask a question. Okay. And then people will start looking at that and responding to them.
Now, you've built machine learning technology into the platform, specifically something from a company called Turn.io, which I believe you are a co-founder. What is Turn, and how does it work in the context of the WhatsApp service?
So When we started working with WhatsApp a couple of years ago, we realized that it's going to be an amazing impact for a tool for social impact. And so because we are a nonprofit, we essentially spun up a subsidiary that holds all the IP. So we basically built a product that we wanted to make available to any social impact organization that globally that wants to use WhatsApp or IP messaging for impact. So Turn.io is basically that product. It's a subsidiary of our nonprofit, and it holds all that IP, and it helps any organization. So Freckle.org specifically works in health, but there are so many other applications now. I also, you know, I've been chatting to people now just in the midst of this whole pandemic. As people stay at home, you know, what are they using to communicate? What are they using to go to school, to find information? Job seeking, you know, so there are a lot of other organizations we essentially have now made this platform available to other social impact organizations. We've also actually made Turn.io and Health Alert, which is the COVID response, available for free to any national government in the world. So we're now talking to a whole bunch of other governments to also implement this.
Okay, interesting stuff. So let's just maybe delve. We are a tech website and a tech podcast. Let's delve a little bit more into the machine learning and how it works exactly.
Fantastic. Yeah. What happens is if we launch this service, we're getting 50,000 people communicating. So it'll be upwards of, let's say, a couple of million messages per day. There's no way that a human can respond to that. And that's exactly what's happening. And let's say this COVID crisis, exactly what's happening. The call center in South Africa is getting over 100,000 normal calls. You can't respond to 100,000 calls with humans. And machine learning is a mechanism to look at large volumes of data and an automated way extract information out of that and then build some kind of automation to support use cases. So in this case, what we did was we say, we've got a couple of million messages coming in per day. How do we build algorithms to learn what people are saying in natural language? And can we extract people's intent from that? And can we then basically execute services on top of that. So for instance, in a simplest way, if I asked, how should I get tested? The machine learning and natural language understanding can extract the intent. Oh, Duncan wants to know how to get tested, can look at this information that we've got available, the frequently asked questions, and then can serve that information back to the end user. So machine learning is really just a way for us to be able to process vast numbers of requests in a quick time. And the other thing is there's something called supervised machine learning. We can use humans to train the machine learning algorithm so that as more information we get in, we can train the algorithms to get better and better at a specific task that generally we, you know, used to be humans executing those.
Is the algorithm capable of learning itself, or does it always need human intervention?
Yeah, so so what you're describing there is either we have something called supervised machine learning, mm-hmm. or we have automated or unsupervised learning. In an unsupervised learning environment, what you do is you throw more and more data at the system, and the algorithm uses the data to learn about that, and you give it some kind of goal. So you say there's according to this metric, so you get the machine learning algorithm to optimize for that goal, and then it kind of an unsupervised way goes and looks at that. So we utilize both of those techniques. Supervised machine learning is very good if you've got the human expert that you're trying to mimic. Mm-hmm. So in this case, can I mimic the expertise of a nurse or a qualified person to provide that feedback? Obviously, we have to be careful because it's health related, and so we can't diagnose. But what we can do is we can, for instance, see whether or not you should go for testing. And that's something that because, you know, people are calling the call center and asking questions that really should be able to automate those.
Yeah. So how does Prac Health Foundation work with the Department of Health? Do you have a team embedded at the department working with their officials in making sure the right information is provided mm-hmm. through the platform?
Yeah, so we are basically at service of the Department of Health. We work with them. Well, obviously now everybody's working at home. Yes. Everything's virtual. But let's say in a virtual way, we are embedded with the Department of Health. We work there's a really wonderful team of operators that support the MomConnect system, and there are team members inside the Department of Health. They generally provide, obviously, all the guidance. There's the task force that gives the updates. There's a team that does the website. We're not doing that. There's a great team that's updating that, which, by the way, is also, I'm looking at this, is getting like a couple of, they've got like 5,000 concurrent users right now as we're speaking.
Wow.
And those are all coordinated by the Department of Health. Obviously, the minister sets the tone and says what's the information that has to go out. But increasingly, the Department of Health and NICD is also coordinating a much larger effort around other ministries. So we're essentially there just to help them get their message out and do it in the most efficient way possible.
Now, last Friday, the World Health Organization announced a similar WhatsApp-based messaging service in partnership with Facebook. And you guys have been intimately involved in that as well. Is it based on the same platform that you built for the Department of Health?
Yes, indeed. It's really cool that the WHO actually saw the work that we were doing in South Africa. And South Africa was one of the first countries to launch a machine learning WhatsApp platform. There are some other countries now that have also launched. WHO saw that they have exactly the same problem. How do you communicate? Except their problem is even bigger. How do you communicate with 5 billion or 7 billion people?
Yeah.
And with the support of WhatsApp and Facebook, we were contacted by the WHO, and there's an amazing team there in Geneva. Obviously, actually, interestingly enough, I think partly the reason they knew about it is because the South African bot, a lot of the content was derived from the WHO, obviously with the oversight of the Department of Health. And that was kind of the connection, because WHO publishes data, global data, every day. And then we set up a task team, or at least they set up a task team, and we essentially took the same TURN platform with Health Alert. We replicated it, got a whole bunch of very smart people at Amazon Web Services and WhatsApp that were really working around the clock, setting up regions all around the world because, you know, obviously WhatsApp is a global platform, and launched on Friday. And then Dr. Tedros announced it at his press conference on Friday evening.
Okay, and how many people have signed up for it so far?
Very close to 10 million. So hopefully, I was hoping to say 10 million, but yeah, and it's the biggest service that we've launched in a very short time. So since Friday night to Monday night, so 3 days, 10 million
users. That's very impressive indeed. Yeah. Very impressive indeed. And
it's only in English at the moment.
Yeah.
We're launching the other languages later this week, but for now it's only English and close to 10 million users.
Okay. And how does the information on the WHO service differ from the Department of Health? More global in nature,
well,
obviously.
The, it is global nature, and because of that, obviously, it needs to be more generic. There are a lot of things that the Department of Health can say about South Africa, about testing sites, etc., which WHO generally delegates that to the ministries of health. But the WHO does provide the global guidelines about how information should be disseminated.
Would you recommend South Africans use both of them, or is the South African one version sufficient?
I think the South African one is sufficient. What we don't do in the South African one is we don't provide the global information. So if you want the global rates and the global caseload, they can definitely go to the WHO one. But I think in terms of information that they need to keep themselves safe and their families safe, all that information is and we update those at the same time. As a matter of fact, we update the South African one much more frequently than the WHO one because the information is much faster moving.
Okay. So before we wrap up, Gustav, how do I access these services? I know it's been advertised quite widely already, but I believe it's as simple as adding a phone number to your handset and then sending hi to the user. What's the number people should be adding?
Exactly. So if I were to meet you and I want to WhatsApp you, you create a new contact. On WhatsApp, you add the number, which is 0600-123-456. So it's 0600-123-456. And you just text hi to the bot. And then from then it'll come back with a menu. And then you just respond to that. And then you can communicate with the bot that way.
Okay. And the World Health Organization's one is something similar?
The World Health Organization one is similar. The easiest way, actually, funny enough, to get it is just to Google World Health Organization WhatsApp, and then it'll actually go to the webpage and it will provide that, and you click through to that. The interesting one, actually, as a technical audience will enjoy this, WhatsApp services are glued to a mobile number. And because it's a global audience, the challenge is if you publish a single number, then you've got a global audience of 2 billion people hitting that number, which will completely overload your systems. We've set up multiple clusters, each one of them consisting of hundreds of nodes, and each cluster is connected to a number. Now, in order for us to be able to point traffic at one of the different clusters, we actually publish a URL, and that URL is a bit.ly, it's a shortened URL basically. And when you click on that link, what we use is a Google Cloud function to detect where you are in the world. So if you're in South America, then we serve you the right mobile number, which you then start having a conversation with. So this is, I think, the largest WhatsApp business service has been launched thus far. So we had to resort to a whole bunch of trickery and hackery and all sorts of interesting things to manage the traffic coming in.
And has it been stable?
We have not fallen over. It's Friday night was pretty intense. At one point, we were doing close to 500 messages per second. The queue lengths got a little bit longer, but the service stayed responsive and they stayed up. So, yeah, touch wood. It's been a stable service so far.
Great. Well, I look forward to seeing how it does and how those numbers accelerate. They're pretty amazing so far already. Gustav Prekelt is founder of the Prekelt Foundation. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to Tech Central.
Thanks, Duncan. It's really nice chatting to you.